ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। So today on this auspicious day of Dvadashi, we're continuing reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. Text number 27.
Yoga randhita karmano Hridyoga vibhavite Yogino yam prapashyanti Yogi shamtam natosmyaham Yoga randhita karmano.
Please. Ladies, please.
Yoga randhita karmana.
Persons whose reactions to fruitive activities have been burnt up by bhakti yoga. Hridi was in the core of the heart. Yoga vibhavite, completely purified and clean. Yogina, mystics who are competent. Yam, unto the personality of Godhead who? Prapashyanti, directly see.
Yogaisham.
Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all mystic yoga, tam, unto him, nattahasmi, offering obeisances, aham, I. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Super Soul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activity by practicing bhakti yoga. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that the king of the elephants, Gajendra, simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation and has supplied its ingredients. This should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. Why? Why then do the non-devotees and atheists do not admit this? So the reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities. One must be free from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. One must wash off this dirt by practicing bhakti yoga. Yoga randita karmanah. As long as one is covered by material nature modes of ignorance and passion, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Lord. Tadarajas tamo bhava kama labhadayaschaye. When one is freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lowest qualities, which are kama, lobha, lust and greed. Nowadays, there are so many yoga schools to encourage people in developing their lusty desires and greed through the practice of yoga. People are therefore very much fond of so-called yoga practice. The actual practice of yoga, however, is described here. As authoritatively stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.1, Janavastita tadgati namanasa pashyanti yam yoginah. A yogi is one who always meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Brahmanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa deva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintya guna svarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyama Sundar, Krishna himself. What inconceivable, innumerable attributes whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with a salve of love. The bhakti yogi constantly sees Shyama Sundar, beautiful Lord Krishna, with his blackish bodily hue. Because the king of elephants, Gajendra, though himself an ordinary animal, he thought himself unfit to see the Lord. In his humility, he thought that he could not practice yoga. In other words, how can those who are like animals in the bodily concept of life and who have no purity of consciousness practice yoga? In the present day, people who have no control over their senses, who have no understanding of philosophy, and who do not follow religious principles or rules and regulations, are nonetheless pretending to be yogis. This is the greatest anomaly in the practice of mystic yoga. Yoga randita karmano, yoga vibhaviti. Yogino yam prapashyanti, yogisham tamnatosmyaham. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Supersoul, the Master of all mystic yogi, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activity by practicing bhakti yoga. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked a question, as so many people were coming to have darshan of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One person once came and he asked Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Dear Swami, Swamiji, you devoted your life to serve Krishna. You renounced everything, family, relationship, country, your native country, to travel, sacrificed your life to serve Krishna." And he said, "What if," and reading the story, I thought for myself, well, actually, deep in the heart, Krishna, who is Krishna to me? The God, Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom I fear, because if I don't follow the rules and regulations, then I get punished. Is it He is the one whom I fear so much and forced that way to follow the rules and regulations? Is it He, Krishna, I follow? Accept Him as God?" So Srila Prabhupada thought a while and he said, "You know, even if Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if He is not God, just see, everything what we have is the best. We eat the best food. Yes? We discuss the best philosophy, the most exalted, most elaborate, most deep philosophy. We live sublime, pure, non-violent life." So he said to the person, "You know, if Krishna is not God, still we have so much fun. You know, the quality of life we lead is the top. Best food, best association, best relationship, you know." So the person was listening and thinking, well, interesting approach. But then after a while, Srila Prabhupada thought and said, "You know, I tell you one thing. Krishna is God." So, you see, some people may have doubts. And from Bhagavad Gita, we know Krishna teaches Arjuna that the doubtful person, the intelligence is many-branched. So what does it mean? That this person don't have a goal in his life and he don't know where he's going and striving for. Because at every step he has doubts. Of course, we know that the quality of the intelligence is doubting. Yes. But after getting the proofs, authorized information. Right. Actually, the topmost leaders of this universe, they accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, through bitter experience. Like Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, oh, they had to go through bitter experience of offending Lord Krishna, of doubting his authority, of not being able to accept him as Supreme Personality of God because he was playing a role of just a boy, village boy, cowherd boy. Well, how it can be? Even when Srimati Radharani appeared in the house of Vrishabhanu, Narada Muni came to the house and said, you know, I made an astrological calculation that in your house, the eternal associate of Lord Krishna appeared, Srimati Radharani. And Vrishabhanu, he couldn't believe. He said, no, we don't have nobody at our home. He was ashamed to admit that this girl, which they had at home, blind and invalid, because she was not moving. She was like, and closed eyes, so they considered she to be her blind. He couldn't admit, he couldn't believe that this is Srimati Radharani, eternal associate of Lord Krishna. So it's no doubt that even in our hearts, do we deeply in the heart of the hearts believe that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead? Otherwise, if we do believe, where is our enthusiasm to serve him? Huh? We accept what Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada wrote and told to us, that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But deep in the heart, do we really believe that and accept that as my life and soul? No, we do have desires, material desires, desires for enjoyment, for establishing myself in this material world. Still we have some hope and illusion. And we see that this story of Gajendra, who was actually a Vaishnava. He was a Vaishnava. He even renounced his kingly position, being a Maharaj, Indradyumna Maharaj. Yeah. He renounced his kingdom. He lived in the small cottage in Malayachala Hills and was practicing bhakti yoga. He was a Vaishnava. And he gave the vow of silence. And he was meditating in his previous life as Gajendra. He was meditating on the Supreme Lord, was sitting in silence in the mountains, practicing. But we see when Agastya Rishi, he was with his disciples moving around and came across the Indradyumna Maharaja's cottage in the Malayachala Hills, he was not greeted. So you know rishis. Well, he's a Brahmana, he's mystic, yogi, and was not shown proper reception. Atiti Bhagavan, yes? Uninvited guests should be accepted as Bhagavan, as Supreme Personality of God. Even if the culture is that even if the enemy comes to your house, you have to accept him as God. Offer all the facilities, best facilities you have at home. And Agastya Rishi was not even noticed by Indradyumna Maharaj, who was under the vow of keeping the silence and was in deep meditation. Well, that's why he became elephant, because Agastya Rishi cursed him to become an elephant. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that although elephant is huge and big, his intelligence is small. Why? Yeah, nowadays they say, oh, elephants are so intelligent, but you know, they perform menial service to the humans. Menial, heavy work. So that's why Agastya Rishi said, oh, you don't took a notice of me even, huh? Okay, become an elephant. Dumb, huge animal. Well, this was the Vaishnava cursed. Huh? Intadyamana Maharaj, a Vaishnava cursed. That's why in the beginning of the class I make sure that, you know, for any wrong word I will tell in the class, not be cursed. Because I'm afraid I don't want to become elephant or crocodile. I will, during the feast, I will make sure nobody notice how much I eat prasad. Because they will say, oh, Ananda Chaitanya, he's like a crocodile, consuming. He's not respecting prasad, he's consuming it. Yeah? So, Intradyumna Maharaj was cursed. But, as we see, every story is in Bhagavatam, that the curse of the rishi, of the saintly person, turns out a blessing. Because Indrajyumna Maharaj, whatever contamination he had in his heart, through the life of Gajendra, an elephant, he got rid of all those. But, as we see in Bharat Maharaj, he could remember his previous life being in the body of deer. But Gajendra, he forgot his previous life as a Vaishnava. But, because when you are Vaishnava, Krishna is always very caring towards you. So this situation with the another king, who was a Gandharva. And we remember that Narada Muni also got in trouble being Gandharva in previous life, singing the pop songs not connected to the glorification of the Lord. So this Gandharva, he also was a king and was enjoying with ladies in the water. And accidentally he grabbed the leg of Devala Rishi. You know, the sadhus, if you've been in India, you saw how they chant Gayatri in the water up to the, above the waist. And even Lord Chaitanya was grabbing the brahmanas by the leg under the water, disturbing their chanting of the Gayatri. But this king who accidentally pulled the leg of Devala Rishi, most probably thinking that this is the leg of a woman with whom he was enjoying in the water. So because his attitude and mood was improper, lusty, the Devala Rishi cursed him. Ah, oh, you enjoy in the water. Okay, become a crocodile. Enjoy the water. Enjoy the grabbing of the legs. So that's why the king Huhu was cursed, and that's why he caught the leg of the Gajendra. 1,000 years they were fighting. And only because the crocodile one in his residential place in the water, the elephant was becoming weaker and weaker. So, and we see that, usually pious people, innocent people, during the difficult situation in life, they only then remember the Lord. Then they pray to the Lord. Huh? We need to be kicked by difficulties in life. We need to be kicked by Maya in life. to surrender. But the Vaishnavas are not like that. They are conscious human beings, conscious living entity. What it means? They don't wait for the Maya to kick them into the face. They voluntarily come, they voluntarily agree to accept Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and start their day with their lordships and end their day with their lordships. But Gajendra, because he was cursed, he forgot his previous life. He forgot his previous practices. He forgot he was a Vaishnava in previous lifetime as Kangendra Jumna. But when he fought for so many years with a crocodile in the water, oh, suffering was coming to his consciousness. He understood that, oh, this life is so terrible. Although he was enjoying also with the elephant Sis, with his female elephant friends in the water. And these stories are full of lessons. Because just see, elephant in the beautiful place in the valley of the mountains and the lake was enjoying with she elephants. Company. But it is said that it created so much disturbance for water residents. When elephants enter the water, oh, it's so much turmoil. So that's why the crocodile came and attacked Gajendra. So it's all the time, it's like the law of nature. As soon as you want to, as soon as you try to, as soon as you plan for sense gratification, is immediately disturbance for everyone around. Because in this material world, everyone fights for the objects of the senses. The mind, oh man, There is no resources in this world to satisfy the demands of the mind. No. There is no resources enough. All of us can dream about, oh man, I want to have a universe in my pocket. Who can forbid you to dream about? Yeah? Limit is the sky. Okay, I want this planet, I want that planet, I want this riches, those riches, I want these ladies, I want that association like that. There is no limits for the mind to dream about the sense gratification, about the pleasures. So that's why as soon as you have a plan to enjoy, immediately you are conflicting with the surrounding world. Because everyone is hunting. This is the world of hunters. Everyone is hunting the objects of the senses. Everyone is carrying the, you know, gun of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And everyone is hunting, oh, I need some warm, soft, pleasurable, nice, beautiful. Everyone is seeking for that. So those stories teaches us the lesson that even Indra Jumna Maharaj, on the path of devotional service, still we can learn also a lesson. That even his vow of silence, he should have sacrificed that for the sake of accepting the Agastya Muni, Agastya, very, very important. And tomorrow I have one beautiful, absolutely beautiful shloka from 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Tomorrow I'll read it for you. About the importance of association, about the importance of creating the proper, adequate service attitude, mood amongst the devotees. is it that tomorrow I continue reading? Yeah? Okay. So I'll save some nectar for tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi.